Turn to the book of Matthew tonight. There's that little nursery rhyme type thing. I think it's Mary Had a Little Lamb. I heard it a little while back, and I thought it was found it very interesting. I think it goes, I don't remember all of it now. I think Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. Mary had a little lamb who followed her wherever she'd go. And then I think it followed her to school, and the teacher put it out, and I think that's all I can remember right now. But I got thinking, you know what? There is a woman in the Bible named Mary who had a baby, but he was considered the Lamb of God. And, you know, I got thinking, the world, she brought him into the world, and the world did want to put him out. And in the end, they did. So I thought, well, how interesting how they could have a little rhyme like that, and it's ever so much reflect on the Word of God as well, because that's exactly what happened with Jesus. So we're going to talk tonight about Mary's Lamb, the Lamb of Mary's Lamb, the Lamb of God. And with that, again, Matthew chapter 1, we're going to read verses 18 through 25. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all that was this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's pray. God, I pray tonight, Lord, even before I stand before these people tonight to bring the Word of God to you. God, there's something that's going to hinder me from being what I need to be for you, Father. I pray tonight you'll forgive me. And give me the grace and strength to present this word, the Word of God, tonight in a way that it'll be beneficial to us in our lives. And God, thank you for allowing us to be able to be here tonight in the house of God on the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for what he did for us. And I pray, God, as we go through the message tonight, we'll see how important it was. And God, how we must have that desire to continue to go tell others about it, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now tonight, I have some things here. I wrote, it's got Mary's lamb was a special lamb. You know, how was Jesus special? Number one, his conception, how he was conceived and brought into the world. We all know that he's the only one that's ever been done that way. The Bible tells us here, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, I have a few verses tonight, so if you like to turn, you may. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, my older Bible, which is a 1984 Bible, is starting to show its wear and tear. I'm losing pages, and I have given this one. Jeremy and Jane gave to me, I believe it was in 2012. I think that's when they gave it to me as a Christmas gift, and I hadn't been using it any sort. I had it on the shelf collecting dust, so I pulled it out. But it has this thing where it's got a page in between the written pages where you can keep notes. And so sometimes I kind of get, it takes a while to get to something because you got all these extra sheets. But I thought I'd start using it, get it broke in a little bit because the other one's not going to hold up forever. And so I got it out tonight instead of bringing my other one. And the writing seems a little bit bigger too. Now, I don't have problems with my eyesight as long as it's lit up good. But if I got to look at something with a little bit of dimness to it now, I sit at the house sometimes downstairs and I'll read my older Bible and have to take a little flashlight and shine it on it just so I can see it a little bit better. But this one's got the writing a little bit bigger, so I figure I better use it. But in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says here, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So God, even in the Old Testament, was presenting the word that we would, you know, the people would know ahead of time that there was going to be his son conceived of a virgin. And, you know, that's important, the fact that Jesus was conceived of a virgin, because I wrote down my little notes that said that's an essential doctrine that we need to teach and need to know if we're going to be born again, because without the virgin birth, we don't have a sinless Savior. And so with that being said, we have no hope of salvation. And so it's impossible to be saved and yet deny the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin. You know, a lot of people, they don't have a hard time believing that. But the Bible tells us here, God said that in verse 14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." In Luke chapter 1, here, turn there please. I took the month of December and read Luke one chapter a day until I finished it. And I noticed the chapters all had a lot of verses, 40, 50, 60, 70 verses at a time. And a couple times I fell asleep doing it. So the next night I would go back and read that chapter again because I said, you know what, I didn't read it best I should. So I did that the whole month of December. Until I got it all read. So, but it's amazing that I put an effort into doing that, and surprisingly, I did it. I shouldn't say surprisingly, but I was able to do it, and I thank God He let me do that, because reading this allowed me to try to prepare my message here. But in Luke chapter 1, we're going to start with verse number 27, and it says here, "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." You know, I wish we really, really knew her life. For God to choose her of all the women that were in this day. She had to be a truly special person. Joseph as well. But it says here, I'm going to read that again in verse number 27. It says, "To a virgin espoused to a man." And then at the end it says, "The virgin's name was Mary. And an angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored." Boy, to know that in God's eyes we are to be highly favored. I know oftentimes I've failed him. I fail him daily at times. It seems like you get in that situation in your life sometimes where you just feel that you're just not where God would want you to be. And you know you're not. But then to know that God could give you the impression, such as he did here with the angel speaking to her and telling her that she was art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. To know that God, for her to know that God chose her personally to do this work for him. No one else was chosen but her. And so we continue to read. It says, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" You see the complications that came with that? Because we read, and we'll see a little bit here, where Joseph, I often wonder how this worked. She conceived. How far along was she before Joseph realized that Mary's going to have a child? And he looked at her and said, I know it's not mine. And then it speaks that the angel came before, and we'll read, I believe, in a little bit, that the angel came to him to confirm it with him. But it had to be a shocking thing for him to be aware and see what's going to happen here. And then we see how he reacted in the way that God would have him. But it said here, it said, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She's saying, There's no way in the world this is going to work. It's not going to be understood. I have no explanation. It's going to look bad. And it's not going to go the way it should. It says, Then the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which thou shalt be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was also barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Well, I'm sure she had a great deal of questions about this. And then the angel in the inn told her, For with God nothing shall be impossible. Here, what was special about Jesus? His being conceived into the world the way he was. And then we read here, it said, For with God nothing shall be impossible. What else was special about this lamb, Jesus, his conduct? He lived here for 30 years. I often thought to myself, what life did he, how did he live? He was a carpenter. He just worked because he didn't start his earthly ministry until he was 30 years old. So all that time, he just lived as a person here on earth like we would before he really got involved in doing what God had sent, his Father had sent him here to do. But his conduct, how he lived while he was here until this point. Number one, we look at his miracles. We see that he fed multitudes. He opened blinded eyes. He healed the sick, and he even raised the dead. Walking on water was nothing for him, not an issue at all. And neither stilling a violent storm. All he did was speak. Everything he did marked him as being special. No one else was doing that stuff or could do that stuff. However, these activities were merely proof that he was indeed who he claimed to be. Who did Jesus claim to be? He claimed, number one, he claimed to be the Son of God. We'll read in John chapter 10. Let's open there. John chapter 10. Jesus did what these miracles that we said he did, that we read that he did, to prove that he said, to claim that he was the Son of God. In John chapter 10, verses 36, it says here, Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, thou ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. Here this evening, Jesus had to perform the miracles that he did to prove that he was the Son of God. Secondly, he had a message. The Bible says here when Jesus opened his mouth, people came from everywhere because they wanted to hear him. He had crowds that would come to just see him, and of course to see the works that he did. But we find here in John chapter 7, if you'll turn there, John chapter 7, and we're going to start with verse 36 here. The messages that Jesus had, that's what made him special. 37, we're going to start with verse 36. It says, What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is a prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this. Evidence that he was the Son of God, who he claimed to be who he was, because no one had ever spoke such as Jesus did. Luke chapter 4, verse 22. 4, verse 22. And it says, And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is this not Joseph's son? The words that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, the message that he brought, is what made him special. Number one, we saw his conduct. Because of his conduct, it was the miracles that he performed. No man had ever done these things. And then secondly, we see here the message that he brought. They said there's no man that ever spoke like this. And thirdly, his mannerism. We see here Jesus, throughout all his life and towards the last 3 years of his ministry, and then when they decided they wanted to crucify him and all the things that they had done to him, beaten him, and all that, he never once spoke up. The Bible says he could have called 12 legions of angels to come take him, but he chose not to do that, because that's not why he was brought on the earth, to do that and then do that. He was called here to die. But we find here that he never stooped to the level of his enemies. Now, I know in my lifetime, there's been times when I've gotten so angry at someone because how maybe they reacted to me, and I have reacted back to them the same way. So I stooped to where the level they were. But Jesus never did that. If you'll find in John chapter 8, verse 29, we'll see what it says here about his mannerism. In John chapter 8, verse 29, it says here, well, we're going to go back up to verse 28. It says, Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus had purposed in his heart that he was going to please God, his Father, in everything he did. Therefore, that was why his mannerism was. That's what made him special. So we see that how Jesus, the Lamb of God, or Mary's Lamb, because she conceived him and brought him into the world, he was special because of how he was conceived. No other person's ever been done that way. Secondly, we see how his conduct was, how he lived. Was number one, the miracles that he performed, the messages that he always brought, and then the mannerism and how he lived. So we see now, we're going to go to, I got my notes all upside down. Let me see if I can do that again. Turn them right. Get them right. We also see that Jesus was a sacrificial lamb. I used the S's tonight. Sacrificial lamb. Jesus came into this world for one reason. We know that he healed people. We know that I mentioned him earlier. He opened people's blinded eyes. He healed people of sicknesses. He calmed storms. He walked on the water. But that wasn't truly the reason why he came here on earth. That was all to show that he was the Son of God. But he came here on earth, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 19, and the Bible will tell us here the sole reason why Jesus Christ came here on earth. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke 19, verses 9 and 10. It says, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's what he has a story about him and Zacchaeus. Jesus told Zacchaeus, listen, the reason why I'm here on earth is to seek and to save that which is lost. He came here to do all those things that he did to prove that he was the Son of God. He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be God. So he did the things that he had done here on earth, the works, to prove that. But that's not why he came. He came here to seek those which were lost and save them. So we see that he was a spotless lamb. That's back to doctrine again, what we spoke earlier. In Numbers chapter 28, you'll turn there. He was a spotless lamb. But we'll turn here in Numbers chapter 28. And we'll read in verse number 9. It says, "And on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and 2/10 deals of flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and a drink offering thereof." When they presented an offering or sacrificial lamb unto God in those days, it had to be without spot and blemish. So we find that with Jesus, that it says an animal, I wrote this, it says an animal that was impure or deformed could not be offered. So for Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins, it demanded that he was be a perfect person. He had to be a human without spot or blemish. If you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, we'll find in chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in him. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." But in verse 22, it says, "Who did no sin?" Jesus was spotless. That's how he could be the one that God brought to die for us. Secondly, he had to be submissive. It's hard to be submissive, isn't it? To anyone sometimes, you know. But Jesus was a submissive lamb. He wasn't forced into this role. Jesus willingly did this for us. If you go to Isaiah, well, let's go to Luke first. We'll go to Luke. He was a spotless lamb. He was a submissive one. And go to Luke chapter 22. Verses 39 through 44. And it says, "And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he is at that place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, Watch this. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He was submissive. We read again. He said, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. Jesus submitted himself totally to his Father that this could be done. And then we read that next verse. It says, and in being in agony, Jesus knew what was going to happen. And he did ask his Father to remove the cup, but he knew that wasn't what his Father had sent him here to do. But in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He prayed that his Father would give him strength. And the Bible says here, it says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. You know what? A lot of times that's what we have to do in our lives. We'll pray about something and it just does not seem it's going to work. It ain't going to work. Or God, I don't want to do that. Or God, I can't do that. And oftentimes we need God to give us that extra strength. And it says here that Jesus, being in agony, prayed even more earnestly. That's what we have to do in our own lives at times. And sometimes that's more difficult to do. But that's what Jesus did as the example to us. Number one, being a sacrificial lamb, he was a spotless lamb. He had to be that. Secondly, he had to be submissive unto his Father. We see that here. He prayed that his Father would remove this from him, the cup, but he chose not to. And he knew that what he had to go through, the agony, he prayed even more earnestly. And as he prayed, God, his Father, knew his heart. And he sent an angel there to give him more strength. And then thirdly, he was sacrificed, lamb. You know what? If Jesus hadn't done all these other things, then this part here of being sacrificed wouldn't have been enough. If you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 9, he was a spotless lamb, he was a submissive one, and then we see that he was a sacrifice lamb. In Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to start with verse number 11. It says, But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once only the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Only once did Jesus have to obtain our eternal redemption. But if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of an heifer sprinkling unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Here we are again. Without spot. He was offered unto his Father, God, without spot. This must be very important. God's brought it up in so many different scriptures. Without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also be of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Verse 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept of all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, thus this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. See, Jesus Christ had to be sacrificed. The blood that he shed was the remission of our sins. So we see that Mary's lamb, the Lamb of God, was a sacrificial lamb. He was without spot. He was a submissive lamb. Even though the agony he went through, he had prayed that his Father would give him the strength, and God sent an angel to strengthen him. And thirdly, he was the sacrificial lamb. And I got one more page, I think. Actually, I don't have one more page. So we find with all that, I found it interesting with this little song we sang tonight, how the last verse, Away in a Manger, Miss Anna wrote this. It says, he offers a gift to all those who receive. He asks you in his precious blood to believe and share this dear message with all who will hear, that death they may face without needing to fear. I heard it not long ago. Memento mori. It's Italian. And it means consider your death. So all this that I brought out tonight, and I kind of went through it quickly. I have somewhat of scripture, but I kind of went through a little bit quicker than I thought I would, to be truthful. But tonight, there was a lamb of Mary's lamb, the Lamb of God. It came into the world for one reason only. That was to die for the sins of all mankind. And today, there's many people who still to this day doesn't believe it. And for whatever reason, they may never ever believe it. But tonight, we read scriptures where it was imperative for Jesus to come and do exactly what he did, to be born. That's why we're celebrating Christmas today, the birth of Jesus Christ. And then he came here to do a work that no one else could do. God chose a woman that only Mary could do what God had wanted her to do. And then we find at the end that Jesus died that we all could have eternal life, to be able to go to a place called heaven one day. As this says here, I'm going to read that again. He offers a gift to all those who receive. He asks you in his precious blood to believe and share this dear message with all who will hear, that death they may face without needing to fear. Tonight, Jesus did his part. He died that we all could have eternal life. Now we must do our part. There's people today that need to hear that this is the reason why we celebrate Christmas. It's the birth of Jesus. And why did he come? To shed his blood on the cross of Calvary that we could have eternal life. In that last little part there, it says here that death they may face without needing to fear. There's a lot of people out there today who don't know Jesus. And you know, we don't know when we'll breathe our last breath. It's like the Bible tells us we'll never know when Jesus is going to come back and take his children home, the church. We don't know. The Bible refers to it as being as a thief in the night. So there's going to be people that are going to, it's going to happen that if we don't die first, that Jesus Christ is going to come back and take us home. And there are going to be people who will get the opportunity not to fear, because we're going to be swept away. But there's people today that truly have a fear because they don't know where they're going if they were to die. So Jesus did his part by dying on the cross, shed his blood to wash away all our sins. So our part is what I want us to see, is because God sent his Lamb, the Son of God, Jesus, come here and live the life that he lived and did what he did, whether it was to perform the miracles, his preaches, his messages, or the way that he lived before people. And I believe those three are very important in our lives, that we ought to have purpose in our hearts to be the same way that Jesus was while we're here on earth to live. But our part is now to go out and make sure other people know. We have a message. The message is, and it ain't just for Christmas Day, it's for every day that we live, is that Jesus Christ came here and he died for you. To tell someone, he died for you. He died for me, but he died for you. And without understanding and realizing and having him as your personal Savior, and believing that he died on the cross and shed his blood that you could have eternal life, you'll never be able to see a place called heaven. So tonight, I just tried to bring out a few things of why Jesus was, he came here on earth. I guess all of y'all knew that. I mean, it's nothing new. Y'all knew why Jesus was born. But just as something that 2019 will be gone in just a few days. And 2020 will be another year. And you know what? We can start out fresh by purposing in our heart to want and tell others what Jesus did for them. And that maybe in 2020 we can see more souls saved. Because that's why Jesus came. That souls could, the Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He did his part way back then. Now it's time for us to do our part and tell others what he did so that they can be saved. Just maybe in a little bit of an encouragement that we can do that in our lives. But Jesus was the one and only. Mary was the one and only. Joseph was the one and only. But you know what? There's a story there about those three that we can go out and tell others. The purpose of Jesus and why he came. And that they can have eternal life if they only trust and believe. And at the end, it says here that death they may not face or may face without needing to fear. Listen, we're all born again tonight, I believe, through our testimony. So we don't have to fear death. If something happens to me tomorrow, I get to go to a place called heaven. But you know what? There's a lot of people I know that don't know that. So what must I do now? I must go out and tell them what Jesus did for them. Let's pray. God, I pray tonight that you'll bless what I gave. God, thank you for Jesus. God, thank you that the example he set, God, he had to be spotless. He had to be submissive to you. And God, he did what you asked him to do. And we see that he even struggled at a point. But God, his desire was to please you. Help us tonight to please you in all that we do, all that we say. And God, help us to be a witness and testimony to others. God, that people will see Jesus in us. And that way, then they'll know that they can have eternal life and trust and believe in the same Christ that we have to understand that he died for our sins. And God, I pray tonight as we go out in this world, and 2020 will be coming, a new year, God, it'll strengthen us and give us an even more desire to tell others what Christ and Jesus did for them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.